Well, hey guys, welcome back. My name is John Schuler.
And I'm Steve Allen.
And we're doing a podcast here, video recording for our volunteers. This is number 4 in our series of 12. And we have been covering for the last couple weeks just a basic foundation of what homelessness looks like in America, specifically in Spokane, and then an overview of our programs here, yeah. the way that we've got Open Doors is our 24/7 shelter where we partner with Salvation Army, this drop-in shelter for families really experiencing homelessness in their first days, moving then into Bridges, which is our longer-term program. This is our interfaith hospitality network. We're not content with these families until we've got them into a stable, you know, income situation and into a stable housing situation, and then out of there into our third program, The Village, where we really want to walk with these families for the long term, partner them up with a mentor, and make sure that they've got all the tools that they need to succeed.
Absolutely. In fact, yeah, most people, you know, you always think about the first part is really more of it's a mile wide. Mm-hmm. We're trying to reach as many people as possible, mm-hmm. and get them into a stable situation.
Yeah.
The second one is a mile deep.
Right.
And what we're trying to do there is really invest in a few people for a long time to get them over those hurdles that have got them into homelessness, yeah. preventing them back in homes. And the mentoring, this is like 10 miles deep, right? Because yeah. we're really investing 2 to 3 years with volunteers with these families to really help them kind of really get themselves not only sustainable but coached and mentored in such a way that they can then be part of the solution.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's kind of fun to see that process.
Yeah.
And yet today is kind of a foundational time, right? I mean, this is the basics. If you don't get this,
yeah.
then you're going to kind of miss out on so much of what's to come.
Yeah. We started thinking about what our volunteers need to know in order to really be great at this. Because our goal is to be the best organization for volunteers in Spokane. And we've all kind of been in a position where we weren't quite sure what was expected of us, weren't quite sure what to do, or maybe you've been in a job where on your first day somebody gives you something that you're just not prepared for. And so we want to make sure that everybody feels equipped and empowered to do what they need to do. So today's really kind of the first layer of that. We're going to talk about our vision and our core values, specifically trying to frame the picture of what are you prioritizing when you're here. When you're volunteering in Open Doors or in the Bridges program or in the Village, what are your highest priorities? What are you looking for, and
how do you act? How do you how do you perceive? How do you what's the framework from which you volunteer from?
Yeah,
and you go into so you kind of have steps, a 5-step process of how to prepare yourself before you even touch base with these families.
So we picture it like a pyramid. The foundation, the base layer being a non-judgmental attitude, moving up from there to respect and compassion. From there, we want our volunteers to be present and, you know, take the time to listen well and respond well. We want all of our volunteers to be competent, and so part of that means on-the-job training so that you know what you're doing in your specific role. And then finally, that we're empowering, that we're not trying to do something for somebody, but really just giving them a hand up.
Tools, compassion, the strength, the encouragement.
Because in the end, our families that we love so much need to be the heroes of their own story. Our volunteers can't be the heroes for these families. They need to do it themselves. So this we're about to roll a clip from a video that is part of our mandatory orientation for volunteers. So if you're one of our volunteers, whether for Open Doors, for Bridges, for the Village, you're going to be getting a link with this video. It's about 8 minutes long.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is really mandatory orientation. So the best way that you can be a part of Family Promise is to understand these core values. So Steve, I'm going to kick it over to other Steve,
right.
future
other Steve.
Steve.
Exactly. Well, I don't know. I wish they were all watching this video because some are probably listening. They're not enjoying the shirt color.
Yeah.
You really got to watch this video to see how awesome our shirt combination is.
This is good. See, we were talking, this is kind of a Thanksgiving thing, a fall pattern.
Right. And I'm moving into Christmas.
Moving into Christmas.
So, anyway, roll the tape.
There we go.
Hey there, my name is Steve Allen, and I am the Executive Director at Family Promise of Spokane. I am so grateful that you are interested in volunteering with Family Promise. I really believe and I'm strongly, I'm very excited that you're considering volunteering with Family Promise of Spokane. I know this will be a win-win hope for you. It'll be a win for the volunteers and be a win for Family Promise. And so what we want to do in this video is really set you up to help you to really understand how to volunteer, have the right mindset, the right attitude, the right insight. And so we want to kind of give you a framework, a pyramid of sorts to kind of build on, to give you our core values as well as our core focus on how to bring these values into fruition. So in general, what we want to start with, obviously, our whole focus of Family Promise is to do three things. We want to support homeless families so we can provide stability for these families. We want to empower them to sustainability. And lastly, we want to be able to coach them so they can then serve other homeless and impoverished families and be part of the solution. I really believe in my strategy here, and it's a solution to homelessness in Spokane, is to help families by providing a stability to help them through this chaos, give them a place where they can start. That's why I love the Open Doors facility. It's going to be a place of stability, a place where they can get their needs met, meet a coach and begin to figure out their future, showers, wash their clothes, food and warmth, and a place for their family to be and be safe. Secondly, we really see our Bridges program being a place of empowering people to help them become sustainable so that they can then get a job and have a place to stay and begin to move forward and getting them back into homes in a way that they can continue on long after they get back home. And lastly, our Village program is really a place where with our Monday night family enrichment program as well as our mentoring program, we're really looking forward to using and seeing this become a place where they will coach families to not only with life skills and helping them as they're back in homes, but also mentor them in a way so that then they become future mentors for families. In some way, obviously, it's like an exponential growth and a circular thing coming, bringing these families back into the process and help them become part of the solution. So in essence, what you're doing as you volunteer, either providing stability, you're empowering them towards sustainability, but then you're coaching them so they can be part of the solution, not only to get stabilized, but to become helping other families as well. So you are a big part of this process, and we're so excited that you are considering being a part of this. But in order to really help families the way that they need to be helped and to help them in a way that they can feel the sense of earning the right to be heard, our first kind of core value is this idea of being non-judgmental. To judge someone, we often judge people by what they look like, whether it's a tattoo or clothing. We judge people often by the things that they say or the things that they don't say. Sometimes we judge them by the way they smell or how they act or how their kids act. And really, judging is we're giving someone value, whether we're giving them a low value or we're giving them a high value. And so the first thing we want to do and encourage you as a volunteer is to realize when you walk in, we want to put the judgments aside. We want to look not just at the outward appearance, but at the heart. And by doing that, we're allowing ourselves to first, kind of a first barrier is treating them with value, seeing them as a creation of God, a person with significance and value. And instead of lowering them with a non-judgmental attitude, we want to raise them and honor them as guests, as people with potential and value, so we can then really treat them the way that they deserve to be treated. This is the basic. If we can't get past judging people on their outward appearances, we're never going to be able to move to the next level. The next level is to really treat them respectfully or compassionately. There's a lot of story. People coming in the doors, they have a lot of story behind them that you're never going to know. And so it's really two sides of the coin. We've done judgmental as kind of more of a brain thing, and to be a respectful, compassionate is more of a heart thing. Some of these families come in with just broken stories that will break your heart if you could know them. And so by respecting them, by being compassionate, you're opening the door to be able to allow your heart to be able to be touched by what's going on. And so if we can kind of remove the judgments to look at them as a child of God, as we can be compassionate and empathetic and begin to understand a bit about their story and know that there's a lot behind what you're seeing here, then we can be we can get to a point where we're really present with them. We can sit and listen, not try to fix them, not try to solve their problems, or not just look beyond them or think about other things, but being present to listen. And when you're listening, you're hearing the story. Not only are you hearing the story, you're hearing the things that need to be addressed to be overcome, the barriers that may be preventing them from getting back into homes. And so as we work hard at really being present with them, listening more than we speak, you're going to find the way and the ways, the things that need to be answered, the steps that need to be taken for them to get back into their homes. Once you've got that, once you begin to understand what really needs to be helped there, then we've got to be competent as volunteers. We've got to realize that we've got to have the resources that will help them. We've got to know the contacts and the names. We've got to know the organizations that would be helpful to them. And it's a process, it's a learning process, but competence is a huge part of being a successful volunteer, is they've got to know that when they come to you, you have answers and you have doors that are open. One person used to say Family Promise is like an organization that has the keys. We know which doors to open that many of the families never have known even existed. And so by being competent, we're able to really bring change and help them to the next step, which is then empowering them to sustainability, empowering them to accomplish achieve things that they never would have been able to otherwise. Whether it's going to DSHS and knowing how to help them with that, or Social Security, or health contact, whether it's getting them connected with Goodwill for a resume or WorkSource for a job. As you're competent, now you begin to help them, empower them to do, not you do it for them, but showing them how they can do it so then they can get the help that they need. And when we know that when you're empowering somebody and they're doing it on their own, there's a lot of confidence that comes with that, a lot of encouragement, and a lot of saying, I can do this, and I'm going to do this. And so those are kind of our core values that help build this bridge to really seeing change in families' lives. And if you skip one of these things, you're going to find that you're going to be stumbling there. If you try to go right to here's what you need to do, or here's the resources, and not be, you know, skip judgmental, or you're not really present with them, you're not going to get the answers you need to be able to really help them. And so that's kind of our basic values, and that's how we hope to help you help us help these families. There you go. I never planned on being a movie star or a TV star.
Steve, you're good at it,
but,
man.
But thank you for organizing those graphics on there to make it simple. Well done on that.
I know this may seem like a lot to remember, right? Nobody's expecting you to come in memorized with your 5 points, but we really do want to encourage you as volunteers and as people that care about other people. This is what we think is a path to success in volunteering. For some of you, this is going to come really naturally, just easy as breathing, because this is how you treat everybody. And then for others, I mean, this may take some intentional thought to leave your judgments at the door, or to be present with somebody when you're really thinking about something else.
Right.
Personally, that's a weakness for me, is that I'm always kind of planning and scheming, and so it's hard to just sit and be fully present.
Or not to try to jump ahead. You think you know the answers are before you really even know the situation.
I mean,
we all do it in everyday life. In fact, it was funny when we were talking about this very thing, kind of walking through these 5 steps a couple of days ago, John asked me a question about being present. And I said a whole long thing about being present, and I was thinking about something else.
And checking his phone.
I had to humble myself and come back and say, what did you say? And the irony was not lost, that's for sure.
It's a challenge, honestly. And so I would just encourage you to coach yourself a little bit. Look for opportunities to put this into practice, particularly when you're volunteering with Family Promise, but all the time.
Yeah, that's true. I think they're basic foundational principles, mm-hmm. just even how your relationship. But let's kind of talk through a couple things. Let's talk through the 5 steps again, and kind of flesh them out a little bit, make them practical, and how we see them even in our lives. And then let's talk about them within the the three programs we have, what that would look like in Open Doors, what it would look like in Bridges, what it would look like over there in the Village. So
practically speaking, that foundational layer is non-judgmental attitudes. In Open Doors, this is our 24/7 drop-in shelter on Richard Allen Court. What that's going to look like is that there's going to be people popping in day and night that we really have no connection with or background with, and some of them are going to be really experiencing this terribly hard season for the first time, and first impressions might not be great. I mean, these might be, you know, moms struggling to keep their kids from freaking out, or it might be
domestic abuse situation,
or kind of fleeing from something that, it could be really tempting.
They've been sleeping in a car for 5 days. They don't smell good.
Yeah.
They don't look good. They're frustrated. They're angry. They're chaos. The people aren't going to be super gracious. The very first moment you see them, some will be, but a lot won't be. So there's a lot of different ways that PTSD and that side of the reaction plays themselves out.
So a non-judgmental attitude in that place is just going to look like accepting people as they come and seeing, hey, what can we do for you? We've talked before about treating everybody like they're a superstar, and just giving, you know, businesses would call it customer service. We just call it, you know, being personable with people. And we want that to extend from every person that walks in the door.
Absolutely. And it's almost as if you have like this kind of a super x-ray vision. You're looking past the exterior into the heart.
Yeah.
And you're seeing that they are a child of God, that they have value, and that there's nothing on the outside that's going to keep you from treating them with probably more respect than maybe some people have in their entire lives.
Right. Now, I will say this gets considerably harder the longer that you know somebody, right? I mean, if you've ever been connected with somebody that you have some significant differences with, it can be, the more that you know about them, the easier it is to judge, right? But in our Bridges program and in our Village program, now we've gotten to know these people over the long term, and we still are expecting a non-judgmental attitude where we can value everybody as children of God, made in the image of God, without holding their past sins against them.
Mm-hmm. Even present sins, future sins.
Yeah.
Right?
People are messy, and instead of treating them as projects where we're just trying to get them fixed, we want to come at things with this attitude that you're made in the image of God, you should be valued and cherished for who you are.
I mean, think, have you ever been misjudged?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm a pretty big guy, and people, for better or for worse, equate that with dumb. So people will talk slowly to me, and, you know, is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine that would be hard just by pure, by looking at you on the outside. Or you got a tattoo, you got whatever things might be that people would misjudge you on.
Sometimes folks will come into the day center and they'll think that I'm one of the homeless people, that it has happened.
I haven't heard that before.
No, it happened up at one of the churches. Anyways.
The point is, it doesn't feel good.
Yeah, not at all. And really, if what we want is for these people to take the initiative and ownership in their own battle, that's really defeating to be judged right away.
Right, absolutely.
And so that kind of takes all the air out of the balloon before it even takes off.
Right. Well, some people say, well, I mean, judging is a way for us to discern situations. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Safety, danger, our bodies have that ability to judge a situation. I need to run. I need to deal with this situation. But it's not really what we're talking about. Yeah. Really what we're talking about is this ability to give value to someone in a way that says, not only am I going to treat you like you're important and valuable, but I'm also almost, in some ways, I'm going to help you get to a place where you don't even judge yourself, or you see a different person in your own eyes, because so many of them are just beaten down, and all they've experienced is just abuse and despair and discouragement and failure, and they want someone to believe in them. So that's kind of what non-judgmental is about.
And practically speaking, this is the foundation for all of our volunteers. I mean, we have encountered situations in the past where people couldn't leave their judgments at the door, and we just have to go, you're not a great volunteer. We either need more training, or we need to find another way for you to get
involved.
Well,
we see churches, right? Church after church after church that goes through in rotations and Bridges. Mm-hmm. We've seen families that just kind of welcome these families and don't judge.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen other ones that do judge and treat accordingly, and fearful or whatever. And the issues that always seem to happen are with those that are kind of in this judgment.
because creates tension.
You're creating tension.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so this is a huge process, yeah. and this is why we're talking about them. This is the foundation. If we try to jump too far ahead, you're going to miss out. So that's misjudged. That's the non-judgment. The next one, how does that kind of fit into the whole?
Yeah. So respect and compassion, that's kind of the flip side of non-judgmental attitudes is the heart connection that comes with that. Compassion, the word literally means to suffer alongside. And so if we want to have compassion for these families, that means to walk a mile in their shoes with them, to be to suffer alongside, to feel the pain or the fear or the uncertainty of their situation, and not leave them alone to handle it themselves, right. but say, "I'm here with you. I'm in your corner." I probably repeat that one phrase more than anything else. I'm in your corner.
Wow.
To me, that speaks of compassion. And being just with people in their struggle.
Well, that's so important too, because you know we know that these families have suffered far more than we realize,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think we quite understand that you may have grown your whole life with a dysfunctional family at best, abusive, hurtful at worst, and we have no idea what they've been
mm-hmm.
through. And then as we start to kind of get to know a little bit of their story, it's just we our heart. They know when our heart's with them.
Yeah.
They know when we feel their pain,
yeah.
and we enter into their story. And that's so much of what they're
wanting.
Makes
a difference.
And sometimes that's all they want.
Yeah.
They don't really want your answers
yeah.
right now. They just want to know somebody cares
yep.
and is feeling what they're feeling.
Absolutely.
I think of when I spent time in Africa, and the hard part about maybe this is how I'll lead into this. When I spent time in Africa, there's a lot of poverty there, a lot of suffering, and you know, day after day after day after day, there was people begging at your door, and you see people just scrawny, and just the sickness and the things that go on there, and you want to feel compassionate,
mm-hmm.
but the more you experience the stuff that's going on, the more it breaks your heart, and so there is a balance between
mm-hmm.
kind of this ability to not just be totally broken,
mm-hmm.
where you're kind of collapsing under the weight of the how hard things are,
right.
and also not just being like, well, glad I'm not you,
right.
have a nice life.
Yeah.
What does that look like? I don't know. How do you balance that? It's
carefully.
A challenge. Carefully.
Yeah.
But the point is that you want to feel with people
yeah.
so that they can, you've earned the right to be heard.
Yeah. So when it comes to being respectfully compassionate, this is really, again, one of the foundational beliefs of how we treat people. Across our programs, this can take different forms. So in Open Doors, what that means is to listen well, to hear people, and then the word literally means to suffer alongside. And so compassion for these families means to cry if they're crying,
mm-hmm.
To make physical contact. People don't realize that we want appropriate physical contact, but there is so much that's communicated through a warm touch, through a hug.
Just eye contact. Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, listening. You
yeah.
can listen with your ears.
Nonverbal communication
exactly.
is so big when it comes to communicating to somebody that you respect them and that you care. Which really, again, just comes back to one of those foundational beliefs about how we treat people. We are listening, we are suffering alongside, and we're kind of reassuring.
Right, yeah. So I'm Open Doors, they
yeah.
walk in, there's that sense where if I don't judge you, I'm just with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so sorry you've
mm-hmm.
been through this stuff, you've been through it, and you're just entering into their pain.
Yeah.
It's what would you want someone to treat you as you walked
yeah.
in? I want them to listen. I want them to care.
Yeah. One maybe word of caution there is that we would encourage our volunteers not to really engage. If there's a lot of criticism happening, and we'll hear this a lot, I went to this organization and they didn't want to help me, or
right.
I went to these people and they didn't care. We don't want to engage in that kind of cross-criticism. We do want to hear and let people know that they've been heard and reassure them that they are going to get what they need here. But we definitely don't want to be engaging in that kind of,
right, that's good.
You know, what would you call it? Sniping.
Right. And you don't know what they're saying, true or not true, or
right.
whose side of every story, but
yeah.
Just the sense of I'm entering into that. And
mm-hmm.
you're going to get a lot of different people coming through these doors, Open Doors, that, you know, there's going to be a lot of stories that are
mm-hmm.
going to be heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your key to entering into their situation.
Yeah.
So about bridges, what do you think there?
Yeah, well, in bridges, we've got these longer term relationships with people. And so we do get to hear more and more and more of their story. We get to learn about their family of origin and where they came from, and how these, in some cases, you know, homelessness is not an isolated incident. This is something that can be sure. traced back through, you know, their family of origin. And so respect and compassion, I mean, it is a lot of the same. Nonverbal right. communication, right. making sure that people feel heard and valued. And that we're not putting on a front there. Right. This is real right. Being with people.
Well, in the village as well. I mean, mm-hmm. you've got people that there's still a battle. And it's mm-hmm. a sense of, you're not like not just kind of like, oh man, I can't believe that, you know, you've done it again, but you're continually coming back to yeah. walking with them in the steps yeah. that they're walking in. And so I think this kind of respect and compassion really goes through all three yeah. programs, different ways,
yeah.
but equally important.
A word of encouragement maybe, and when it comes to the village, which is our aftercare program, I find that a lot of the times the struggles that people are in there are a little bit more relatable to me.
Yeah.
I've never been homeless, and so when somebody, you know, is describing that, I can be empathetic, but I can't be sympathetic.
Right.
But when our families have gotten back into their house and they're complaining about, you know, how much they have to work to make their ends meet, I can relate to
yeah.
that.
Landlord, been there. Landlord situations.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have enough money to fix this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, and so.
So that ability to suffer along with somebody gets a little bit easier there. I want to throw that out for those of you that are going, I can't sympathize yeah. with that. That's okay.
Yeah.
You can listen well, you can empathize, and go from there.
Absolutely.
The third thing is just really practical. The idea of being present with families, and I'm sure that everybody has experienced that feeling of just talking to somebody that's not interested, just checking their phone, just, you know, it's talking to a wall.
Yeah.
And there's nothing more frustrating than that. And so we want to go even the opposite direction, and we want to be interactive listeners. We're not only hearing, but responding.
I'm looking forward to that teaching you're going to be doing on how to be a responsive hearer.
Yeah.
You know, and how to
absolutely
how to make sure that people know what you're learning by repeating back to them and yeah. asking them questions, engaging what they're doing.
Yeah. And so presence really from in the Open Doors program, what it looks like to be present is from the moment that somebody walks in the door, we're making sure that they feel welcome, that they feel at home. We're asking what you know brought you in today, and when they start talking, we're not cutting them off. You know, we're listening for clues about what might possibly point somebody in the right direction. That's everybody from the front door, you know, guest host,
yeah.
All the way to our coaches and coordinators. In the Bridges program, we've got groups every night that come in to bring meals. And one of my favorite parts about that is that after you serve the meal, you sit down and eat.
Right.
And you get to be, there's nothing that connects people better than eating together. I tell my wife that's my love language is food. But when you share a meal with somebody, there's something really important that happens there in terms of connection. It makes you able to hear their story and share in it with them.
Absolutely. I think even though they're there among many meals, there's always different things are going through, different people, different mm-hmm. situations. And so, and there's something healing about
yeah.
night after night after night, people around here who I don't know,
yeah.
who are being present with me because they care about me.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, that's there's nothing else like that in yeah. terms of nonprofits here in Spokane, where that kind of really in depth being present is yeah. really really cool.
Yeah, the same is true in the Village program. That if you come in as a mentor or possibly engaging with our Monday night family enrichment nights, there are just a ton of opportunities to be with somebody. So that's, you know, over a meal, or maybe if you're right. a mentor, you're sharing coffee with them, maybe you're working together, or just, you know, walking or doing something. But we really have this call to be just present with people.
And when you're present, you're hearing, you're learning, you're listening, mm-hmm. you're able to kind of get the clues into yeah. how to continue helping move them forward.
Which is the fourth step, being competent.
As if I just meant to say that.
the idea of competence. I mean, everybody has tried to call Comcast and gotten on with somebody that just doesn't know what the problem is, and I got to talk to my supervisor, and you just got to run around, and there's nothing more frustrating.
No, it's frustrating.
So when these families come in with a need, we want to be able to meet their need. So in Bridges, the way that I've seen that work is Lynetta, our case manager, has always got somebody to talk to. I mean, they come in with this need about, well, I need to get on to the DSHS or
DSHS
something.
Or
she knows she's going to call this person.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got our plan. In the Open Doors program, what do you think the competence looks
well,
like?
Well, I think the basic competence is who to call for food stamps, yeah, or who to call for housing voucher. How do I get assessed in a way to know, get my kids in school, or heart program. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of those things are basic stuff. And then from there, it just keeps growing. Yeah. And those coaches and those people that are there are going to be continuing to growing in their, the resources that they know who's who. They have the keys, Open Doors. Yeah. And so...
So our metric of success there for Open Doors is that every family would get an actionable plan.
Right.
So from when they come in, we're listening, we're assessing and going, this is your first time, so you don't even know that you qualify for this program.
Right.
Or this program, you could call these people and have, you know, a home within weeks. You could call these people and get help with your utility bill. Or
this is where you get go to food banks and
right,
get food. This
yeah,
is the age you can have it. Or
yeah,
these are where the meals are going to be.
Yeah. So competence for our volunteers in Open Doors means I've got my list of resources, and I'm constantly sharing that with people that need them. And then, you know, being able to run the shelter efficiently, keeping things clean, keeping the kitchen stocked, all of that comes back to that our volunteers know what they're doing. So part of that is on the job training.
Right.
You'll receive training for that. Same with Bridges volunteers. When you come in to serve a meal or as an overnight host, you've got a binder full of instructions about what you're doing. And competence for a mentor in the Village program, really, I think, is a lot like just having a friend that you meet with regularly.
Well, the training you prepare for being a mentor in about 12 hours, so there's a sense of growing in competence there. Mm-hmm. But then, yeah, learning how not to be too mentoring.
Yeah.
What does it look like to help these families and guide them? It's definitely a learning process, but...
We had, for instance, last night was our family enrichment night, so we've got families that have graduated from the program. We do dinner together, we have life skills training, and we had some volunteers come that were great and worked hard, and I got an email this morning from her. She goes, you know, sorry if we were quiet, we just don't know what to say. You know, how do you have a conversation with people that you don't have a lot in common with?
And, right.
And so there are areas there where we want you to be good at conversation. Some little tips that can make that a little bit easier. And then competence, again, leads up to kind of the pinnacle is empowerment. That if we can set people on the right path, then they can take the steps themselves and get it done.
Right, absolutely.
This is the beauty, again, of what Lynetta does here, is that they come with a need, she works out a path, and then she hands it right back to them and goes, all right, go call this person, talk to these people.
Apply for this hotel or this housing situation. Or.
And we want our volunteers across all measures to be like that. In Open Doors, empowerment looks like, well, here's a food bank, and I'm going to make sure that you've got all that you need to get there.
Right.
I'm not going to do it for you.
Right.
Part of that is in the way that we speak and want to make sure that is always encouraging, mm-hmm. Empowering, making sure that people know that they've got the tools and we believe in them to get there.
Right. I think you empower people when you give them the resources to know where to apply for in terms of housing and resources and benefits, those kind of things.
Yeah.
By providing the opportunity to walk through that door, encouraging them, showing them how to do it,
mm-hmm.
and they're able to do it. There's a sense of confidence that comes with that that I think sometimes will help keep momentum going forward.
Yeah. You've heard the phrase, if you give a man a fish, you can feed him for a day, but if you teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime.
Absolutely.
We want to be intentional, not just to not hand out fish, but we're also teaching people how to use their equipment.
Right.
So part of that is not just hand it and out the door, but we go... These are your tools, and these are how to use them. There's a lot of coaching involved in that.
How about Bridges and Village?
Yeah, so in Bridges, what our volunteers are have that night after night interaction with a lot of the same families. So churches will host for a week at a time, and so sometimes our overnight hosts will see people for seven straight nights.
Yeah.
And empowerment in that case looks like maybe strike up a conversation like, hey, what's next on your action plan? What are you doing? What do you think that you need to do next? Maybe once you've gotten that out of them, you encourage them and go, hey, you know, you can do this. I've seen you in the way that you parent your kids. You can do this. I've seen you in the way that you, you know, handle yourself.
Same thing in Village. Again,
absolutely.
You're just helping them, provide them the tools they need to be able to keep moving forward.
I mean,
it's just exciting. I think it is. I love this framework. I believe in the process that we can go through. And I love how it gives us a tool to really how to move forward in this idea of being a volunteer. And again, it's not every single task, it's not complete, but it's a start for getting us forward.
Yeah.
And so when you hit a situation, a roadblock, a struggle that you're going to as a volunteer, kind of take a self-assessment. Where am I at? How am I not this non-judgmental thing? Mm-hmm. Where am I at with respect and compassion? Am I being present and listening? Right? Am I confident? There's something I need to learn to help these families.
Yeah.
Or am I trying to do it all for them? Because there's a sense, that I want to do it or I want to get the glory for it, or am I really empowering them to be able to do it? And how do I do that? I mean, I just got a call today from one of our former families asking for some groceries, and I'm like, do I provide that? Or how do I help them find the needs they can do? It's just a continual process of whether it's like a playbook for football, it's like the checklist for the for flying a plane. This is the foundation for you to be a successful, satisfied, and eventually sharing volunteer of all that we're doing here at Family Promise.
Yeah.
We want you to win, because when you win, the families win, the families will win, we win.
Absolutely.
And the community wins. So anyway, I don't know. What do you think?
This is money.
That's it. So if you
haven't subscribed to this already, you really should, so that you get automatic updates, because this is just gold. I mean, we're really good at this.
We are grateful
for
your encouragement. We're grateful people are taking it. I mean, it's fun to see the views. It's fun to see that people are actually engaged. And we are not perfect by all means, even though he thinks we are. We would love to hear your feedback.
Yeah.
And so as volunteers, as you're getting in this, you have questions. Would you let us know? How can we serve you better? What are some topics here? We'll just keep learning and keep growing and keep moving forward.
All right. Stay tuned. We'll catch up with you guys again later.
Thank you.
Be well.
Stay on the night. We can put a couple records on. We can build.